You are listening to the Effective Statistician Podcast, a weekly podcast with Alexander Schacht and Benjamin Pieske, designed to help you reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients without becoming overwhelmed by work. Today we are talking about failed studies, new safety findings, and mistakes, breaking bad news. A really, really nice discussion with Benjamin and myself. Did you know that you can get a lot of additional content? Just follow me on LinkedIn and join the Effective Statistician LinkedIn group. And there I'm posting regularly new content, additional content, short stories, all kind of different things. And you also get updates there on any other news. Of course, the best way to get updates is to actually be on my email list. So head over to theeffectivestatistician.com and subscribe there to the email list. Then you'll for sure not miss anything. I'm producing this podcast in association with PSI, a community dedicated to leading and promoting the use of statistics within the healthcare industry for the benefit of patients. Join PSI today to further develop your statistical capabilities with access to the video on demand content library, free registration to all PSI webinars, and much, much more. Visit the PSI website at psiweb.org to learn more about PSI activities and become a PSI member today. Welcome to a new episode of The Effective Statistician. This time, it's again Benjamin and myself. Hi, Benjamin. How are you doing today?
Alexander, very well. It's a sunny, nice day today. Since we moved this to the mornings, it's always a little bit brighter in our recording life.
Yeah, that's actually quite nice. Really, really nice weather here in close to Frankfurt as well. And so, yeah, but today we're not talking about the weather. Today we're talking about bad news and
breaking
bad news. Yeah, there's unfortunately, we as statisticians, or fortunately, we as statisticians, very often are the first to know about the results because we analyze the results, we get them to see the first, we review whether everything is correct, and then of course you see whether the study has been successful or not, or whether there's been a new safety finding, or maybe even use other bad news, like there has been some mistakes that you need to communicate and that you need to be corrected. I think that's just part of our job to break bad news.
Yeah, I mean, it is sometimes it is. I mean, for the examples that you mentioned, I mean, sometimes that's obviously part of our jobs. In other cases, that's part of our job to actually avoid it. For example, if you've bought incorrect analysis and these things. But I think what we are aiming for today is really to kind of bring in a structure on how to work with these events that you as a statistician are at the end then responsible to communicate for. So to come to the point where you know, there is no correction to be made anymore. So it's too late now. So we have to communicate. We have to work with it, and that's what we are talking about today. Do you have a situation where you kind of what you remember or anything that you can share with us?
Yeah, I have actually two situations: one positive one and one negative one. So I was once hearing about a study, and it was said, "Oh, great positive outcome." Then I learned more and more about the study, and there was something weird about the study. And there were some rumors around it, so that led to lots of discussions about the study. And it turned out that in the initial analysis of the primary endpoint, there was a mistake. And that initial analysis was already you know, communicated to a couple of people, and then later they corrected this mistake and then communicated much more broadly. However, this original analysis was kind of still sprawling around in the background and led to lots of noise and lots of discussions and hallway discussions. And there was a lot of bad feelings about this study. And so that is, I think, a bad example where, you know, these communications were not handled in a nice way, so that everybody got on board. So people were then later saying, yeah, there was this error and we corrected it. But only after lots of people challenged and asked for what's going on. And so that actually gave the study a very, very bad reputation. A positive example is that I was once working on a compound, and then the phase 3 studies were released and they were all negative. No significant finding anywhere. Well, I think some vital signs showed a significant difference. Really nothing, complete kind of flatline. And then, of course, lots of people were asking about, how could that happen? You know, were there any subgroups, any kind of other things? And the study team had all the answers, were widely communicating kind of what happened, what they have looked into, what stones they have turned around. And it was a very, very nice communication. Also, the news were really, really bad because it meant the end of this compound, but it was handled in a very, very professional way so that it didn't lead to any kind of second guessing or any kind of, is there a mistake here? What about, you know, did you check the randomization? Was it really the correct randomization? All these kind of different things. The study team had a very, very clear communication channels, very, very clear communication. And people could go back to work rather quickly after this, these bad news.
Mm. Yeah, I think this is kind of a difficult situation for anyone at that time. I mean, especially, you know, bad news are never good news, obviously. So, so it's really like very, as you mentioned, very important to have the right communication channels and everything in place. Yeah, from my side, it's a little bit different. I mean, because from the CRO side, you're usually not as deeply involved in the study teams. So we did have a lot of, breaking bad news to communicate. In some cases, this was just passing on the results. But, you know, the communication channels itself was not in the hands of, me or our statisticians. However, we did get to the situation where we did have an incorrect analysis. And that was basically the same where, you know, where you come up with some bad news and you need to really, really work on channeling the update and the consequences coming from that very, very clearly and very well thought. And that is something that, you know, where I did have some experience in, or me or one of my team members. And therefore that's I think for everyone, every statistician, that is something where we will come sooner or later. We'll get to a situation about breaking bad news to share.
But it's also kind of breaking bad news, for example, if there's a restructuring, yeah, you know, or if you need to deliver difficult feedback or things like that. We just need to deal with that. That's part of our business. That there's sometimes negative news that we are responsible for communicating. Yeah. However, we have an advantage, and that's called the first mover advantage that you can seize and that you can use for your advantage when you communicate that. Because you know first, that means you have the ability to shape the communication. And if you do it correctly, then you can sail through it quite nicely and you know, get over it, have everybody on board, you can actually look very, very professional during this. Mm. If you don't seize it, then it gets muddy.
Yeah, that's true. No, but I think the first mover advantage is something that you can really, work with. But don't forget that this usually does hardly mean that you have any time advantage, because it's a very quick, you can't wait, a few weeks to decide what to do. And then, that's just that you make the first move, and that needs to be well thought.
Yeah. Speed is really, really important here. Mm. We'll come to that a little bit later. But I think the first, if you step into these communications, the first thing, like for all communications, you need to think about is, what do you want to achieve? What are your goals of the overall communication? Who do you want to inform? Who do you want to move basically from position A to B, whatever that is? Is it from informing people, this study has failed, and make a recommendation, therefore we need to kill this compound or stop the study or whatsoever? Or there's a new safety signal, and therefore we need to write a Dear Doctor letter, whatsoever. So there's all kind of different recommendations and calls to actions. And you need to be really, really clear on who's your audience and what do you want to do about them.
Mm. And the next kind of question that you need to ask yourself is, what questions will come up?
Exactly.
So it is kind of anticipate what will be, knowing what the audience is, you kind of need to anticipate what questions will come up. So what will be the replies to it? And is there a solution? I mean, for, in the example of killing a compound, killing a study, that's something that you could probably decide, but not you can't decide, but you can kind of give as a recommendation, whether it will be heard or not. But on other cases, for example, if you detected like a mistake in an analysis, then there's probably want to know what is the correct result, or at least when will it be delivered. So you need to have basically the replies already in place for the most urgent or upcoming potential questions.
Yeah, you can think of it like a chess game. Yeah, if you make this move, what will be the move of the other person, and how do you respond then to it? Yeah, so you can think about a couple of moves ahead and go through all the different possibilities and be clear on what is your reply then. And that helps you to prepare and to plan for your communication. And so that's why if you have these more broader communications, they very often come with a question and answer document. Yeah, because people have thought this communication through, they have outlined what they see as likely questions and have already given answers. Hmm. And that is, a result of careful planning your communication.
Yeah, I think this ties into a lot of discussions and thoughts that we had already in earlier episodes about knowing who you're working with, knowing who, how they, what their goals are, what is their thinking, kind of work together with them, line up with them. And so the questions is also then, if you have good news, but also in this case for bad news, is who will be affected? So who's the key stakeholder to any update or any change that you have? And I think this is nothing that you can do just from one minute to the other. This is a lot of preparation, not for the case of bad news, but in general, to be a leader, a strong leader as a statistician, is to understand what the results and the changes in the plan. So who will this be affected first, and therefore also who needs or who must know first.
Yeah. And there's where you can work with your study team together and see kind of, okay, what will that affect? You know, is it an impact on timelines? Is there an impact on budget? Is there an impact on Wall Street or whatever? Yeah, so what are all the kind of different implications? Working there cross-functionally and understanding what are all the different business partners' needs, especially outside of your study team, is really, really important. But it's also, you know, when you start and present the news to your study team, yeah, already knowing, okay, what is the story that you're telling? What is kind of, is it consistent in all the different subgroups? Is there any, you know, specific things that you have found in your data set that is interesting? Or are there any kind of recommendations you can do in terms of further analysis? Yeah, so there's lots of things you can anticipate. And in terms of that, I think there's five steps you need to go through when you're breaking bad news. The first of it is tell it all. If you think of the first example that I gave, yeah, so people were communicating just the updated results, but they didn't communicate there was an error in the primary analysis initially, and that they have therefore adjusted a couple of things. And, well, they didn't tell it all. So that led to rumors and all these kind of things. So telling it all is a first rule.
Just still be careful. I mean, because telling it all means it's a lot of information. So you need to really channel this correctly. I mean, tell it all could be like a 3, 4, 5 pages long email, let's say, that nobody will read. Or it could be like a breaking, you know, the breaking news and then what has been done. So kind of a short history. So really channel this correctly. All doesn't just give you the permission of everything. So,
well, you shouldn't dump everything on people. It should be kind of the relevant information should be in there. Yeah. So you can also hide information and lots of information. So throwing over 1,000 tables and not pointing people to the one really, really important table that has, you know, that kills the study. It's also not really helpful.
Please see the results. I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
And the second point actually is what I mentioned before is tell it fast. So it's just because you know, as the statistician, doesn't mean that the others shouldn't know. So therefore, that's information that needs to be spread quickly. And you know, if anything that is, especially if the study teams is already aware, you know, if you don't tell it fast, then rumors, then, you know, other channels of information will already be used. And it's so you're not the first time mover you don't have the first mover advantage anymore. And therefore, you know, you can't wait for a long time to prepare carefully a lot of things. So it's really tell it fast.
Yeah. If people know that you locked the database and they don't hear from you for weeks.
Yep.
That's not a good news. and so you need to seize the opportunity and move here quite fast. Mm-hmm. And that means you need to have focused effort and focused work time. It's probably good to also, especially for these kind of important analysis like database log for interim analysis, all these kind of different things, to block out time after that in your calendar so that you are not, that you actually have time to get through it fast and communicate fast. Yeah. The next guideline is tell what you're doing about it. Yeah, so that is kind of, if you have corrected or found a mistake, you're correcting it and tell them, okay, you'll get the updated results tomorrow, whatever. Yeah, so we have explored all these other subgroups and we haven't found a signal somewhere. Or there is maybe, in terms of the safety finding, there's an overall safety finding, but it seems to affect only patients that, you know, have these baseline characteristics. Okay, so tell them what you're doing about it.
Yeah, and, you know, once you told them about it, what you're doing about it, you need to also tell them when it's over. So that's actually the fourth part. So where, you know, if you take the lead and if you say, you know, what is the plan for you to prepare, to change, to look into, to, you know, dive into more information, subgroups whatsoever. So whatever the action for you is, you need to also tell them when it's over. You need to announce when you plan to have it done, and then you need to just give an update on saying it's over or it's not over yet. I need another day or whatsoever. So it's really important, as for basically all communication, not only in this case, is that you do a follow up on the plan that you share, because otherwise people get nervous, people get uninformed, or they feel uninformed. They think that they missed some information if you didn't share it. So it's really give them an update when it's over, or if it's not over, when it will be over. Keep them informed, because it's not only bad news for you, obviously. It's bad news for everyone. So the people tend to get nervous and with unplanned actions and so on. And to avoid it, really keep them on track. Also, you lose the control if you don't, if you let it slip out of your hands, you know, which will happen if you don't keep people, colleagues, counterparts, whoever informed, then it will slip out of your hands. They will take action, whether it's good or not. So that's your leading position that you're losing if you don't do it.
So for example, if you have an safety finding, tell people, okay, the label is updated, the Dear Doctor letter is sent, everything is, you know, all the key opinion leaders are communicated, there's no further updates on that, and we're closing this chapter now. Or if there's a restructuring, that's the particular challenging situation. When people don't get communicated that it's done and it's over, they constantly expect some further bad news. Yeah, so is there, you know, further cuts? Is there further job losses? Is there further people that need to move around and get new jobs? So that's really important that you close this out so that you can actually get to the last step, step number five, and that is get back to work.
Yeah, don't forget about that one. Don't stop with number four. No, I think get back to work is just that for everyone is that, you know, the normal life, normal work life is, you know, being put on. I mean, we have always bad news in our work life, and, you know, it shouldn't stop us from then getting back to normal work after we have communicated it. And for that, I mean, we need to have the four steps before, and especially step number four, to tell them when it's over, to really have a break. Again, saying that that's the end of this story. We may have impact. Maybe you can take on the normal work, on the on the work that comes from this bad news. But otherwise, it's really just concentrate again on what is on your desk, what is, you know, the team is expecting from you.
Yeah, it's focusing on what you can control, and you can control the future. You can't control the past. So, and having this mindset shift there is really, really important, and getting everybody on new tasks is much more motivating than, you know, discussing the past over and over and over again. If we would have done that, what would have been the result of the study? Or if we would have, you know, analyzed it differently, or if we would have, you know, what if? It doesn't help. Yeah. So get back to work and concentrate on your future tasks. It's also much more motivating. So we've gone through all the different steps of what you can do to break bad news. And the first was really seize your first mover advantage. And the five guidelines were tell it all, tell it fast, tell them what you're doing about it, tell them when it's over, and then get back to work. So this was a rather shorter episode today, but I think it was still quite valuable, and it's a communication tool you can use in many different situations at work and in your private life.
No, absolutely. So, I mean, you all know some examples where you think, where you just shake your head and say, well, what kind of communication is this? So whatever it is, I mean, maybe, you know, restructuring, as you mentioned, or anything. So these are the key points really to avoid the situation for the people that are listening to you. So where are you the leader for? So take the time, just go through this again and avoid such mess of communication as you probably experience already in your work life or personal life, to don't bring others in the same situation as you have been in.
I hope you did enjoy this discussion about breaking bad news. I know it's a really difficult topic, so I hope this was helpful for you. This show was created in association with PSI. Thanks to Rain, who helps with lots around the show in the background, and especially thanking you for listening. Please visit theeffectivestatistician.com to find the show notes, learn more about our podcast to boost your career as a statistician in the health sector, and to subscribe to the email list. Tell your colleagues about this podcast. If you find it useful, if you find it helpful, they may find it helpful as well. So tell them about it. Like always, reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients. Just be an effective statistician.